Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the first half of the program, first 30 minutes or so, we're going to be talking to Sharon Harris of Heart and Body Extract, and certainly a gentleman she's asked to come on this evening, and Mr. Thomas McElroy. And then the last half, it's going to be open lines. We've got some great things to talk about. There's so much going on in the world. But first of all, let's talk to Sharon. Hi, how are we doing, Sharon?
I'm great. How are you, Dr. Jeff?
I'm doing just fine. And Thomas McElroy, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And so do we want to hear your story. Have you tried using Heart and Body Extract? And tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm using it every day.
All right. Well, how did you get started? Why did you get started using it?
I am the recipient of 21 stents, if you know what a stent is.
Oh, yes. That's a little sort of wire cage they put in your arteries.
Yeah.
And
I've got 21 of them.
You've got 21 of them, huh?
Yeah. Last year, after I had my 21st stent put in, I came home with feeling really rather poorly.
Right.
And then the doctor that I've been working with, they were suggesting that I should have some open-heart surgery. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go home and wait for whatever to happen. So I, during waiting, I started looking on the Internet and found Heart and Body. And I read the web page about it, and I read the information about it, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do this. What else do I got to lose? I called up Sharon and told her my story. Actually, I emailed her and I told her my story. And I got the stuff and I started using it. And within a couple of weeks, I was able to walk up and down my stairs without having chest pain. And, you know,
You were having angel pain before this happened, and then once you took the Heart Body, you didn't have the angel anymore?
It took me a couple of weeks, but I didn't have it anymore, and within 2 or 3 weeks after that, I was able to go out and walk my dog for a couple of blocks, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Well, how long had it been before you'd been able to do that sort of thing?
I was on a trip to Southeast Asia. I came back. Several months.
All right, fine. So basically, for our listeners out there, when you have they call it hardening of the arteries, it's really narrowing of the arteries in the heart, the coronary arteries. Why, of course, you don't get enough blood to the tissue, and then, of course, when you stress walk, there's something that actually puts a strain on the heart, and it needs more oxygen. You don't get it, then you get this crushing type of a chest pain, sometimes go down your arm, and so apparently Thomas had angina pain, and suddenly he had 21 stents put in. They wanted to do a coronary bypass. He was going to put that off. He started using Heart and Body, and you started feeling better. And what's happened since then?
Well, let me see. I was a faithful practicer of Bikram yoga, which is that hot, intense yoga. I'm now up to walking my dog a couple days a week, I can walk about a mile now, which I thought would never happen again, and I can practice yoga several days a week.
Well, in other words, you are a happy customer then, I assume. And
I'm happy.
All
yeah,
right, fine. Know, so, and what did you, have you been back to see your doctor at all?
No.
Okay, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment. So, well, I'm really glad to hear that you're feeling ever so much better. And has it had any other effect on you that you would want to tell our listeners about?
I'm sleeping.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Endoscopically into the coronary arteries, and they were talking about open heart surgery and they're doing a coronary bypass, and he got onto the heart and body extract, and his states that his angina pain is gone. He's able to get out and walk the dog. And he's just not having the angina all the time as he did before, and he just feels ever so much better. If you're out there in the listening audience, you got a question or comment, don't be bashful. If you've tried the heart and body extract, it's helped you, why, let's hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, heart and body extract is a combination of different types of herbs. Some of them are specifically for the heart. Some of them are just for general well-being. And once again, Sharon, let's go over what is in the heart and body extract.
Sure.
I'm sure you've said it many times, but people need to understand these various things because it's not simply one thing like hawthorn or one thing like cayenne. It's a whole flock of different things that seem to be complementary as far as the heart is concerned. So, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, if you'd like to call in. But, Sharon, let's list the items that are in heart and body extract.
Sure. Well, the formula is organic and wild-crafted. So wild-crafted means that the herbs would be found in the wild. It has garlic. Garlic promotes a healthy immune system. It's a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants can help the body to fight against damaging free radicals. It supports healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels already in the normal range. Garlic, incidentally, is a very important ingredient. Next is hawthorn berry and leaves. This will restore and stimulate the heart and the arterial circulation. It regulates and balances the whole cardiovascular system. Next is coleus, which has a 3,000-year history in medicine. It's used as a tonic for promoting a healthy heart and lungs. It supports healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next is motherwort. Motherwort is a circulatory stimulant. It's a relaxant and a nerve tonic. Next is bilberry. Bilberry is very good for the eyes, especially the night vision. It'll dilate blood vessels and promote a healthy immune system. Next is butcher's broom. It maintains a healthy vascular permeability and assists the circulation. Next is mistletoe. It promotes a healthy immune system, has a calming effect on the body, supports healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next is kelp. It's used mainly for iodine and the effect on the thyroid. Next is ginger. Stimulates the liver function, is nervine, stimulates the circulation, especially in the extremities. And finally, very importantly, cayenne pepper. It equalizes the blood flow in the body, enhances the effect of all of the herbs, stimulates the body and the organs properly so that they can cleanse and function optimally.
Well, of course, herbs have been used for thousands of years, certainly for treatment, all sorts of medicinal purposes, and they were used, you know, up until maybe 100 years ago on a regular basis, and then the pharmaceutical industry took over control of medicine. I was just reading an article this evening where approximately 1 in 20 Americans is on some sort of a psychiatric drug. Over 10% of men and over 20% of women are taking some sort of a psychiatric drug. I mean, this is wonderful for the drug companies, but it's a disaster for, as far as the function of our minds are concerned. And you want to stay as close to normal as you can. Certainly garlic is such an important substance. It's an age-old remedy, and certainly it has a tremendous effect on the immune system. It's something that people know, people who are into herbs and understanding the garlic actually, as of course Sharon says, a powerful, powerful antioxidant, and it has multiple uses. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Thomas, are you retired or what are you doing now? I mean, are you
out of life? I'm retired.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So you're an older individual then.
No, I'm 52.
You're 52 and you'd had 21 stint up of your place there?
I had my first heart attack when I was 37.
Was it a real heart attack or was it just an angel pain?
That was heart attack.
Real heart attacks then.
Oh, I was working, I won't tell you who I was working for, but I was a IT person working for a company, a Fortune 100 company, and I had just finished putting in about 120 to 140 hours a week and working in a very stressful position, a very stressful time in the company, and woke up one morning, I had the blue lips, I was sweating, I had chest pain, I feel like the big guy was sitting on my chest, I was nauseated, wanted to throw up. So my wife called 911, and they got to my house, and my blood pressure was, you know, like 200 over 170. Mm. And it would drop, and it would go back up, and drop, and it would go back up. And they took me to a local hospital here in Seattle called Swedish, and they put a couple of stents in me. Said I was having a heart attack. So that's how it began.
Well, did you have other episodes just like that?
That was the first one.
I see. But did you have others, another similar to that? When were they, you know, 20, I never heard of anybody with 21 stents.
There's one fellow who has 29, and there's a lady who has 24.
Well, I really think that they get a little, you know, sometimes it's sort of like, you know, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So when you know how to put the sticks in, why there's an awful tendency to put them in. But you know, certainly you have to be very, very careful when you're a surgeon. It's awfully hard to say, I don't think that you need to have anything done, or you might be better off not to have the surgery. And I think
it was always, well, let's just put some more stents in.
Right, and certainly I'm not faulting the doctor. I don't know what the circumstances were, but I would think that after 21 stints, it starts to get to thinking, well, maybe we ought to do something different now. Certainly then, of course, there's always the coronary bypass, but an awful lot of people will do very well if they can simply get the diet down and they can get on things that will actually help, like these herbal remedies, and then they'll get their exercise. And you need exercise, you need proper diet, you certainly need, though, something to break this chain of events. How long has it been you've been on the Heart and Body Extract?
Sharon?
Well, Thomas G., between 8 months and a year, I would guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, my last heart surgeries were last July. And I think I found you in about November of last year.
Ah.
Okay, fine. Well, that's a full year then. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Well, that's a pretty good testimony. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Thomas? Because I think that's an amazing story.
Well, I'm just very thankful. You know, Sharon is a very kind person. And when I first found her, I was in financial straits. So she just gave it. She just sent me some and said, here, please take this. I want to help you. And she bent over backwards to make sure that I always had heart and body enough that, you know, that it was going to help me. And she was more concerned, I think, about working with me. And I really do appreciate that, because I really think, you know, heart and body has really helped save my life. That's all I can say. I'm a musician as well, and I just really didn't have enough energy to even really play my instrument, or, you know, even go out and find work or anything like that. And I'm like, I have a life again. I don't have to, you know, I just can't thank Sharon enough. That's all I can say.
Well, that's a wonderful testimony. Are you actually playing professionally at all now, or?
You know, I make a little money.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm sure.
Playing professionally in this date and time is, you know, I still am, because of the amount of stents I have, I'm still kind of limited to what I can do.
Sure.
But my health is much better because of
and it
makes. And I wish, I tell you what, I wish I would have found this 5 years ago.
Well, I just hope you're going to continue to improve, because, you know, the body has an amazing ability to cure itself if
it does.
Allow it to. That's the difficult thing. You've got to utilize the healing power which is in our bodies. They were designed to heal themselves. Yes, doctors are important, and many times they can do wonderful, wonderful things. So I've had a number of wonderful surgeries, and I've had, as a physician, of course, I always knew who to go to get the best treatments, and I've been very, very pleased and very, very grateful for it. But I mean, I certainly, on one or two occasions where I've had surgery suggested, and having a knowledge of medicine, I said, no way. And I've been very happy I avoided those unnecessary surgeries. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you've used Heart and Body, why, give us a call. Or if you know, have any questions at all about it. And we will be doing open lines here at the end of the program, but we're going to be back in just a couple of moments, and we'll talk a little bit more with Sharon, though we'd love to talk with you. Oh, Sharon, get your telephone number out there right now on your website.
So the website is heartandbody.com. Again, heartandbody.com. The telephone number is 866 295-5305, Again, 866-295-5305.
All right, fine. And certainly people can call in and either talk to Sharon or somebody's working there on the...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Net. HealthyHeartsClub.net. That's actually becoming a very popular site as we're getting the word out about our other formulas, because each and every one of our formulas do work, and they're very effective. So,
all right, I want you to get that telephone number out a couple of more times here.
Sure. 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305.
And, of course, Sharon has customers all over the world. Certainly, I know you get calls from Europe and from Asia. And so basically, how do people in these other countries hear about your products?
Well, usually they hear about it on a website. They'll go searching on a search engine, and then they'll see the website pop up. Or they may be privy to, you know, like Dr. Stan's Radio Show, Liberty Radio, hear that, so let's say, in the UK and Australia, and then they go onto the website, and then they research it, and they order, or they may phone once in a while, too, even all that distance.
Well, let me just suggest that if you want to, of course, can't remember Heart and Body Extract, if you just go up on my website, radioliberty.com, and scroll down on our homepage. Of course, we have it listed there, and you can click on that. It'll take you directly to Sharon's website. Sharon does help us, and we certainly appreciate her support for Radio Liberty. Thomas, do you have any parting thoughts before we let you go?
If you have problems with your heart, you really should give Heart and Body a try.
All right. That's pretty good testimonial for somebody who's got 21 stents in there, and they've actually never taken any of them out. They're still all in there?
They can't take them out.
Okay, fine.
I'll own them until I'm not here.
they could always do surgery, but I wouldn't have surgery to get them out, not as well as you're doing as well as you are. Okay, fine. Well, our guest, of course, has been Sharon Harris of Heart and Body Extract, and Thomas McElroy, of course, who's of Sydney, a very, very loyal and faithful supporter, because it's given, as he says, it's given me my life back again. I want to thank both of you for being with us, and Sharon, we'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Stan. Thank you, Thomas.
And one more time, Sharon, before we let you go, get that telephone number.
866-295-5305.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. And this is Dr. Stan. Of course, this is the time when everybody wants to talk to you about what's going on out there. We'll talk about whatever you would like to talk about. It's open lines, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we are living, certainly, at a crisis time in the history of our nation. What you have to understand, this is all orchestrated. Now, I'm not going to tell you that, but the world is run by a small group of very wealthy and powerful and evil people. And if you doubt that, certainly, let's look and see what's going on over in Europe. As you know, they've replaced the premier of Greece, and he was not replaced by the people by popular vote. He was just sort of appointed by the people of Europe. His name is Papademos, and he just happens to be one of the 85 to 90 members of the Trilateral Commission, also a member of the Bilderbergers. Now, there's only probably 85 to 90 members of the Trilateral Commission in all of Europe, and that's the man who is now, of course, the new premier of Greece. And then, of course, they got rid of Berlusconi in Italy, and they replaced him with somebody named Mario Monti. And who is Mr. Mario Monti? Why, because he came from Goldman Sachs. Well, Goldman Sachs is an American company. Well, so did Mr. Papadino. He also comes from indirectly from Goldman Sachs. But Mario Monti just happens, just by chance, to be one of the members of the Trilateral Commission. And basically, he's also a member of the Bilderbergers. These people are really so flagrant. I mean, here in the United States, they control our government. And as we pointed out to you in the past, why between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. 6 of the 8 presidents of the World Bank, 8 of the 10 World Trade Representatives, 7 of the 12 secretaries of state, and 9 of the 12 secretaries of defense. And Hillary Clinton, who's the current secretary of defense, her husband was a member of the Trilateral Commission. While the storm clouds gather.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
.8295 and would love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. But basically, we're going to be able to tell what happens and what is intended by how the people who run Europe deal with the current crisis with Greece and Italy. Basically, of course, what's going to get the countries there into trouble, Greece and Italy, is the cost of borrowing on the bonds. They both need money. Basically, they have to borrow money so they can pay their debts. They cannot print money as we do here in the United States. Basically, 43 cents out of every dollar we spend, they simply create out of nothing. And 43 cents out of every dollar, they just simply create. They can't do that over in Europe. In other words, the only people who could do that would be the European Central Bank, and this is against their charter simply to simply go and print money. Not that they really care about the charter. This little group of elitists who run the world don't care about the rules. They do whatever they want to. Certainly here in the United States, they manipulate our stock market through the Working Group on Financial Markets. That's the president's group on financial markets. You can go up on the internet, look it up, and it's very real. It's also called the Plunge Protection Team. So you think that you have a fair stock market? Of course you don't. It's all manipulated, as are the price of gold and silver and oil and commodities. They're all manipulated. Now, sometimes it's difficult for them to manipulate it indefinitely, which is the reason the price of gold and silver has gone up, and basically because, of course, certain countries in the world are not just that they completely under their control, and they are in the process of buying up gold and silver, so they will have something behind their currencies. But certainly, as far as the interest on the bonds for Greece and Italy, they could drive that down tomorrow if they wanted to. Certainly, the European Central Bank would simply buy up the bonds and would bid the price lower. If they do not do that, it means that they want, of course, to perpetuate this crisis. And of course, if they perpetuate the crisis, what's going to happen is that Greece and Italy and perhaps Spain or Portugal will go ahead and default on their debt. If they default on their debt, it will bring down the whole world financial system, simply because the banks actually are holding large amounts of Greek bonds and Italian bonds and the Portuguese bonds and Spanish bonds, and of course then they will lose money. Now, everything is done on leverage. Basically, you find out that the average bank will have $1, but it will create artificially $10, $20. The average right now is about $30. It should be no more than 10, but the average bank is running, is leveraged about 30 to 1. Our own Federal Reserve System, which is a privately owned central bank, is leveraged 51 to 1. When the crisis came down in 2008, they created $16 trillion. I mean, they've got a foundation of about $2 trillion, and that is based upon money that's deposited with them from banks across America. They actually pay those banks interest to deposit money with them, and then they turn around, they leverage it up, and they leverage it up to $16 trillion. Now, how much is $16 trillion? Remember, the budget of the United States is about 13.5, maybe up to 14 trillion. That's the entire gross domestic product. The budget of the federal government is about 3.4 trillion dollars every year. We take in about $2.2 trillion in taxes. We spent $3.5 trillion. So we're spending about $1.3 trillion that we don't have. But we're talking about the Federal Reserve System creating $16 trillion and lending it out all throughout the world to actually keep things from collapsing. But they can't keep doing that indefinitely. In fact, if the Fed were to lose simply $2 trillion of their base money, why, the whole house of cards would come down. And basically, we're facing this as a very real possibility. But it will only happen if they want to topple the world financial system. So you'll be able to tell what is going on by how this thing plays out in the coming months. But you must understand, these people who control the world financial system, we're talking about what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, but manifested primarily through the Club of Rome, the Bilderbergs, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, these people working in concert have a strong occult foundation behind them. And of course, they have been working on a timetable, and that timetable certainly coincides with what Nostradamus had written, certainly what the ancient Mayan calendars had written. Many of the ancient Jewish writings had talked about the year 212 and 213 as the time they were going to bring the system down and the Jewish Messiah was going to come. But what nobody is talking about is the fact that if you read the New Age publications, and fortunately we have Constance Cumby to keep us abreast of that, they are also talking about how this is the time, the year 2012, when the whole system is coming down. Now, we have one other source of information, and that was Mr. Ken Fromm, who was certainly very close to our friend Lindsay Williams. And before Ken Fromm died, he told Lindsay that by the end of the year 2012, which is just about a year from now, why, of course, the dollar would no longer be, the term he used would be the death of the dollar. And I think he was talking about no longer being the dollar will still be there, but it may be worth a great deal less, would no longer be the reserve currency. But they're planning on something happening in the coming months. I really do believe this is what this is all up to, because I think that they could pull this rabbit out of the hat if they really want to, and they're not doing anything of the logical things. I mean, today we have this presidential commission, and supposedly the congressional group, and there are six Republicans and six Democrats on this. They call it the Super Congress, and they're supposed to come up with a solution. And basically, of course, what was their solution? Well, they were going to have to cut $1.2 trillion from the budget over the next 10 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a deficit of $1.3 trillion every year. What would $1.2 trillion over 10 years be? It would be simply a drop in the bucket. But now they're telling us they're going to be automatic, of course, spending cuts, and there has to be automatic spending cuts. Nobody wants to think about having to cut Social Security or Medicare or the military, but they have to do it. You can't keep spending money that you don't have. You can't keep spending you can't keep spending 43 cents out of every dollar that you have to borrow, because nobody will really buy our bonds at the present time. China is not selling our bonds, but they've cut back dramatically on buying them, and so the Federal Reserve System, under one guise or another, is buying about 80% of all the bonds that we sell. And you can't keep buying your own bonds indefinitely. You can't spend yourself out of debt, and yet that's exactly what we're trying to do. And they know the whole house of cards is coming down. The question is not if, but when, and how soon is this going to occur? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And this whole financial crisis is timed to coincide with the very real possibility there's going to be military action in the Mideast against Iran. The revolutionary movement that's taking place in the Near East, the Middle East, with the fall of the Muslim nations as we systematically topple Muslim nation after Muslim nation and turn them over to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a radical Islamic movement created by the MI6, that's British intelligence, and by the CIA. We have created the Muslim Brotherhood. We financed the Muslim Brotherhood. We've created the best enemy money could buy, so we can have a war with the Muslim world, exactly as we did during World War II when we financed the Nazi movement, where we helped to bring Adolf Hitler to power. And then during the course of the war, why we built American corporations, 100 American corporations over in Germany, built many and most of the weapons that were used to kill the American boys at Normandy and certainly at the Battle of the Bulge. And if you haven't read the book by John Loftus, America's Nazi Secret, or certainly the book by Professor Sutton, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, or Charles Higham's Trading with the Enemy, and we have a great new four-tape set. It's called The War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews. It's basically four interviews I've done with John Loftus, who had a security clearance, three levels above top secret, fascinating information. And of course, we carry John's three books. One of them is called The Secret War Against the Jews, America's Nazi Secret, and Unholy Trinity. We have all three of his books. Here's a man who had the opportunity to go through the secret files of the government And somebody within the government wants to get this information out because, of course, for years John was blocked from being able to publish much of what he knew. And then just a few years ago, somebody called him from the CIA and said, well, the statute of limitations has expired. Why don't you go ahead and write about it? There are people in government who want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on. But they would risk their jobs. They would risk their lives if they brought it out themselves. So they left it up to John. John couldn't get a publisher for several of the books, but they were published by a friend of ours, and it's at the Tryune Press, Chris Mulligan, who actually risked his life to get these books out. But they are available, of course, through Radio Liberty. All three of John's books, America's Nazi Secret, The Secret War Against the Jews, and, of course, his book on the Unholy Trinity. They're all available from Radio Liberty, but now we've got a great new 4-CD set. We've just put this together, and it's called The War Against the Jews. It goes into the background of the Holocaust, and the fact that there were, in Belarus, there were actually a group of Jews there, collaborators with the Nazis, who supervised the murder of 2 million Jews. They were some of the greatest war criminals of all time. 2 million Jews, they supervised their murder and extermination. And, of course, then John's job of working for the Justice Department was to track them down. And, of course, what he didn't understand, it was another division of the Justice Department that was actually protecting them and brought those war criminals to America, where, of course, they were allowed to live in New Jersey on plush government jobs until they passed away. And they're buried in New Jersey today. And the fact that you've never heard most of this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But what you must understand is we're moving into a very, very a difficult time, and certainly one of the things is Occupy movement. Now, this is not just occurring spontaneously. We're told this is a leaderless, spontaneous movement of disaffected youth. And yes, there are a lot of disaffected youth there, but this is not leaderless. It's carefully coordinated all over the world. And certainly it is timed so that there will be crisis after crisis after crisis. We're going to be dealing with a financial crisis in Europe that may very well involve bringing down the financial system there. We're going to be dealing with, of course, ever more unemployment and bringing down the financial system in the United States. We're certainly now sending our troops into Uganda. We just sent Marines to be permanently stationed in Australia. Why are we sending Marines to be permanently stationed in Australia? Well, of course, President Obama says the reason that they're there is because some of our allies have asked if we could just put more troops over there, and the Japanese requested that. Why would the Japanese want us to put troops in Australia when we already have over 40,000 American troops stationed permanently in Japan? It's all part of this movement. What this is all about is bringing about a one-world government, a one-world satanic government. When you understand this, it all makes sense. What this is all about is the destruction of Christianity. What this is all about is the destruction of our financial system and the impoverishment of the American people. What this is all about is, of course, the imposition of a new world ruler. And this is what it's all about. There will be a ruling oligarchy. There will be a new world ruler. It's going to come about. And unless, of course, God does take mercy on us, and unless there's a revival, well, there's very little chance that America is going to survive. And the thing is that the vast majority of the American people want America to survive. The vast majority of the American people love this country, as do I. But to love the country is not to love what the government is doing, because the government has been taken over by a subversive group. The Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, and of course they work in conjunction with the Masons. Oh, certainly in conjunction with the Rosicrucians, who have their temples. There's one of their temples for that, the Rosicrucian Secret Societies over in San Jose. You can go there and or look it up on the internet with the Theosophists, with the Lucius Trust, with the dozens of New Age organizations all across America. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and we're just about out of time, but we'll have time to talk to a couple of people. Give us a call. We'd love to get your thoughts on what's going on. Jack, do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Kent.
Hi, do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Relative to the golden rule, who controls the gold or the currency rule, it is obviously presumed by government, that being government lawyers and the politicians who promulgate all this stuff, that these are balanced contracts.
Well, I think, Jack, you're absolutely right, but basically I think it's important that people understand that when the Secret Society was formed in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes, the things that they decided upon was that they were going to have to control the media and control the wealth of the world. And that is really, first, what Jack is referring to, the golden rule. He who controls the gold rules. And basically, they control the gold, they control the media, they control our reality. Well, let's go to Bill, who's calling from Washington. Hi, Bill. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was going to say that...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that, thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Destroy the moral foundation of this country to promote all sorts of sexual deviancy, whether it be pedophilia, whether it be homosexuality, or whether it would be any one of another of other moral aberrations. And certainly, honesty and integrity is something that you very, very seldom see among the politicians. Certainly, if we look at the people who are running for the Republican nomination, Herman Cain comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, as does Newt Gingrich. Rick Perry has been to meetings, the Bilderberg meetings. The establishment's running all of the candidates. I don't know too much about Rick Santorum, but I will tell you, Chris, that the only people that I think that represent America would be Michelle Bachmann and, of course, Ron Paul. But all the rest of them certainly are part and parcel of this elite group that controls the wealth of the world and controls the media. Hey, Bill, I'm going to have to let you go because we're out of time. Thanks very much for calling, and encourage those people up in the great state of Washington to listen, will you?
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. And, Sydney, you can get in touch with us by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you're not in a position to help, then we would ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection, because this truly is a spiritual battle. Now, I want to mention, we have the five-CD set of the conference we did about 2 weeks ago. They're available, and that would include an hour-and-a-half talk by Benny Martini, an hour-and-a-half talk by Roslyn Peterson, the gentleman she brought, who along with her, who is very, very good, an hour-and-a-half talk by Michael Shaw, and my hour-and-a-half talk, and then 1 hour, of course, conference at the end of the day. It was a great meeting, and of course, the CDs are available. We have a great new 4-CD set called the Secret Knowledge, and it's 4 interviews with Jonathan Gray, one of the more intriguing people that we have, and has wealth of information. The Secret Knowledge by Jonathan Gray, and then of course we have the 4-tape set of my interviews with John Loftus, who had a security clearance 3 levels above top secret. And, of course, he goes into the background of the Holocaust. He goes into the background of how the American establishment financed and helped Adolf Hitler all during the Second World War. But we can't let the American people know that. They've got to believe, of course, that we fought a great and noble war. Well, we did. Our boys fought very bravely, but they never understood that so many of the weapons that the Germans were using against them were built by General Motors, by Ford Motor Company, by General Electric, by AT&T, by IBM. The oil came from Exxon, the oil that was used to fuel the Nazi war machine, and, of course, financed by American banks. And John does bring a lot of that out, certainly in his material. You'll want to get this for a CD set. It's called the War Against the Jews, and it goes in the background of the Holocaust, information you'll never get elsewhere. They're trying to confuse us about the Holocaust. They're trying to convince us it's a Jewish conspiracy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not a Jewish conspiracy. It's a satanic conspiracy, and some of the conspirators are Jews. But then some of them certainly are Protestants, and some of them are Catholics. This permeates all aspects of religion today, because they've infiltrated all aspects of religion. And the last thing they want is for the American people to know what this is really all about until it is far too late to do anything. And the one thing they fear is the American people wake up. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
from the mountain to the prairie.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, if you certainly are out there, we hope you'll want to listen very carefully, because we have this as a guest for this next hour, William Grigg. And William, of course, was the senior editor of the New American magazine for many years, and certainly he is now the, I guess, the editor-in-chief of Republic magazine, a very good conservative publication, and of course he has his regular blog up there, and certainly you'll certainly enjoy reading what he has to say. He actually writes our monthly newsletter. The last one will be going out very soon, and it was a wonderful, wonderful newsletter, William. And of course, right now, William's going to be with us to bring us up to date on his thoughts about what's going on, because we are living in one of the most dangerous periods in our nation's history. Now, I've been at this for pretty close to 50 years, but I've never seen a confluence of events. I mean, certainly what's going on as far as the possibility of a war with Iran, the possibility certainly of increasing violence between the West and between the Muslim Brotherhood and the Near East and the Middle East, the coming collapse of the European financial system, the coming contraction of the American financial system, the increasing lawlessness and crisis and crime in America, the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is a carefully crafted movement, actually, of course, fostered by what I call the New Age movement, or call it what you will, the occult movement. But this is a worldwide movement, and this is not a leaderless, spontaneous movement. This is long-range planning. It is a revolutionary movement intent upon fomenting violence in this country to justify the implementation of a police state. And so what are we going to be talking about tonight with him?
We'd have to talk about some element of each of those or all of those, because they're all part of the same story.
Well, they certainly are. Well, you go ahead then.
Yeah, that story is actually, as you and I pointed out, one that began a couple of hundred years ago with the French Revolution, which represented a deliberate effort to have a radical break with the continuity of Western history and to create a new order of government in which you would efface what had come before and restart, reboot, I guess would be the current phrase, human society based on radically different premises, to the point where the Jacobins actually rewrote the calendar, because you couldn't have a calendar that represented the hinge point of human history being the advent of Jesus of Nazareth. So you had them rewrite the calendar and do away with a seven-day week, because, of course, seven is the number of days described in the Genesis account. You had to restart all of humankind, and you had to ignite a fire in the minds of men to try to propagate this new religion that was actually, as I believe was Arnold Toynbee pointed out, actually the restoration of the old-time religion, which was the worship of collective human power. And all the movements you were talking about, Dr. Stan, it have to do with war and revolution and the expansion of empire. These are all based on the worship of collective human power rather than the celebration of individual rights invested in each of us by our creator. And we're coming to a point where we're reaching, I believe, a climacteric in that age-old struggle. And these are dangerous times, stimulating times, tumultuous times, invigorating but mildly terrifying.
Well, of course, if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, they would be terrifying. It was so gratifying. I had a young man call in the other day. His name was Mike, and he basically said he'd read my book.
Oh.
He had never before really thought too much about Christianity, but now he had a feeling of peace.
That's wonderful.
Well, it really was. It sort of makes you feel maybe it's all worthwhile.
Sure.
Basically, one person at a time, if I can touch somebody else's life, who knows what he may accomplish. So you go right ahead with him.
Even if you accomplish nothing more than helping that individual to recognize his innate worth and his incalculable worth, because that's the message of the Christian faith, is that each of us is a unique creation and each of us is of incalculable worth. That in and of itself is a tremendous achievement, irrespective of what else he does with that knowledge, what other creative things he manages to bring about. That's a wonderful story, and that means the world to me that you shared it with me, because that's what it's all about. And what has happened is that since the French Revolution, in the name of democracy, and of course democracy is a word that comes tumbling from the lips of most Americans who have been miseducated in our government school system into believing that we're supposed to be promoting democracy. Democracy is the worship of collective human power. It's all about focusing the attention of people on the question of who controls the government to what end, as opposed to what it is the government does. And there's a wonderful example of that misdirection and the fact that people not of American ancestry or American birth can appreciate the danger of democracy. In a Reuters piece that was published just a couple of days ago on Wednesday, there was a Reuters reporter in Sadr City, which is part of the Baghdad metroplex in Iraq. Sadr City was one of the most violence-prone regions during the early phase of the most recent Iraq war. A Reuters reporter went into a barbershop to ask a handful of representative Iraqi residents what they thought of democracy now that we're talking about the supposed withdrawal of the United States from Iraq. That's, of course, not what's going on. There are going to be thousands, tens of thousands of Americans under arms remaining in Iraq, and tens of thousands more just over the horizon in Kuwait and elsewhere. But I think the most perceptive comment came from the man who owned the barbershop when he was talking about the fact that you're not dealing here with freedom in terms of what has been installed at gunpoint in Iraq. What he said is, do you see this soldier in this checkpoint? He can do whatever he wants to me right now, and I can't see a word. Is this democracy? What democracy are you asking me about when my basic rights as a human being are stolen? If this is what Americans mean by democracy, let it be damned. This is a 48-year-old man. I believe his name is pronounced Wael Al-Khafaji. He's a businessman. For most of his adult life, he was ruled by a distant, well, not distant, I mean he's in Baghdad.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a moment with William Grigg. Well, this is Dr. Stan. William is simply talking about this idea of democracy, and there was an article recently, I believe it was Reuters, and it was talking about one of their reporters having gone into a barbershop in Iraq and talking to people about how they felt about democracy. And it was the owner of the barbershop was talking about how there was no democracy. You had a military dictatorship there. You had no rights. I mean, suddenly, Saddam Hussein was an evil and wicked man, but at least, certainly, if they didn't oppose the government, they left them pretty much alone. But that is no longer the case. Now everything is regulated by this totalitarian regime we put in. Oh, supposedly we have it put in by vote, but these votes are all rigged, and basically we have imposed simply a new dictator to replace the old one, and you have to, because of course you have three warring groups there. You have the Kurds, you have the Shia, you have the Sunnis. If they really wanted to be able to have any sort of representative government, they would have created three separate nations there, each one, of course, with their own religious background and own culture, and they could have certainly worked things out among themselves. But we don't want that. We want instability. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we keep these three groups united, and we unite them under Sharia law so they can drive the Christians out. And it used to be 10%. Now the Christians are almost all gone, down to about 1%. They had to flee for their lives. They were being slaughtered and raped and tortured by the government that we had installed. But right now, of course, you have a totally unstable situation. And the only way to maintain law and order when you have these three groups together, all of whom hate one another, is by another totalitarian dictatorship. That's why, of course, Great Britain, when they created Iraq, certainly following the First World War, united the three warring groups. Why? So you would have instability, so that you could always play one group against the other, and so that there would never be unification among the groups. They knew what they were doing after the First World War. They knew what they were doing when the Americans went in. And instead of letting the country be divided justly, why, of course, they tried to put the three groups together because they want instability. They want violence. They want, of course, a justification for a dictatorship. And, of course, because there is this violence there, we're just going to have to our troops there. Of course, they're only going to be there tens of thousands of for training, mm-hmm. just for training. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have 10 military bases, mammoth bases. We have some of the largest airfields in the whole world. We have the largest single embassy in the whole world. I think it's something I've forgotten how many acres it is, but it's going to be about 10,000 troops just to guard the embassy.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, and the embassy is the size of the Vatican City, which is a recognized city-state. It's literally the size of one of the, geographically, it's the size of one of the constituent members of the United Nations. So you're not dealing here with the prospect of Americans completely abandoning Iraq, which is a country we shouldn't have invaded in the first place. But the point that you made, Dr. Stan, with respect to the nature of the government is a very important one that is missed by most Americans who are following this issue, and that is that under Saddam Hussein, the Iraqis objectively had a greater amount of personal liberty because the government, while repulsive and intermittently very brutal, was one that left them alone for the most part to pursue their own business affairs. The tyranny was real but abstract in terms of its existence in their lives. Today, the idea of democracy is that their supposed liberation is abstract, but the all-encompassing reality is this 9-year security clampdown that leaves this country completely overridden with checkpoints that are manned either by U.S. troops or by U.S. mercenaries or by U.S.-trained Iraqi government forces or by Fedayeen who are associated with one of the sectarian militias. But it all comes down to the fact that there are these oddly dressed men with guns who have given themselves permission to kill those who don't submit immediately to their orders. That's not the way things were operated under Saddam's regime, even during the depth of the embargo, which created a situation where Mr. Hussein was given more power over the lives of Iraqis, because every time you have artificial scarcity, the dictator who's in charge is empowered, and the business and commercial sector of the country is hamstrung. That creates a power vacuum that every dictator is eager to exploit, on top of which, of course, the dictator has the advantage, the immense psychological and strategic advantage, being able to rally people behind him as the supposed protector against the foreign forces which are inflicting this misery on their country. But this is what happens in the name of democracy. Democracy, of course, was not what the American Republic was supposed to be promoting at home or abroad. As a matter of fact, the government of the United States was never given permission by the Constitution to be promoting any order of government abroad. It's not part of the Charter of the United States, that is to say the Constitution that grants these delegated and limited powers to the general government. There's nothing in that document that authorizes the United States government to be involved in the foreign affairs of any country. And the thing about what happened to the French Revolution was that you had this crusading faith that was taken up by Napoleon Bonaparte and propagated at the point of swords and bayonets and firearms in the Wars of Revolution and Empire that eventually became the common doctrine of all revolutionary Democrats. I mean, you can take a look at the threads that are running through the Lincoln administration during the War Between the States and that coalesced into the reign of Woodrow Wilson in the early 20th century. And, of course, Woodrow Wilson was in large measure a creation of Edward Mandel House, who was an agent of British banking interests and somebody who was deeply involved in what we would now call the New Age movement. But Woodrow Wilson's refrain in getting the United States entangled in the First World War was that we had to make the world safe for democracy. And the founding fathers of just a century and a quarter earlier had been describing democracy as the worst of all systems of government because it's basically ruled by the mob and it undermines the rule of law, which is supposed to protect individual rights. The paradigmatic example of a democracy, of course, is a lynch mob. It's the sudden and potent coalition of violence that emerges when people are completely unfettered by law and completely possessed of a disregard for the rights of individuals as individuals. And so you have, in the 19th century, the propagation and fortification of the Jacobin ideology of revolutionary totalitarian democracy. In the Communist Manifesto, there's a reference to promoting socialism by winning the war of democracy. Within a half century or so, a little more than a half century, you have this movement in the so-called nationalist clubs and progressive movement in the late 19th, early 20th century that is devoted to the idea of radically transforming America, having, of course, put down the idea of secession, put down the idea that the individual states are supposed to check-rein the ambitions of the central government. Suddenly the United States government was supposed to be a missionary to promote democracy through war abroad. And that's how we end up with situations of such abiding and enduring and unpleasantness like modern Iraq, which, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, was created after World War One by the same people who'd arranged World War One. Colonel House and Walter Lippmann and the other people who brought into existence the Council on Foreign Relations and the League of Nations and other institutions and interests of that sort. The inquiry, which was the secretive cabal that literally redrew the maps of the world, and through the Sykes-Picot side agreement, you have a line drawn on the map in the middle of the Middle East, and suddenly these people had nothing to do with each other in terms of language or culture expectations were thrown into this new supposed country called Iraq, which has been a source of such consternation and turmoil for over a century now. And during the 1920s, you had Iraq being patrolled as a British outpost by Mr. Churchill, who's been lionized as something of a prophet and savior in terms of his influence on British politics, but who was actually a warmongering imperialist. And during that period of his life, Mr. Churchill flirted with heavy flirtation. We're talking about something akin to an outright adulterous affair. With the Beveridge Plan and with Fabian socialism before he had another conversion back to a form of conservatism in the 1930s. But these people itched and lusted to remake the world through violence. And they had absolutely no regard for settled customs and institutions, for individuals who were parts of families and parts of settled and existing cultural institutions and things that are not within the ambit of the political system. And that's one of the reasons why you have this obsession today with the idea of who controls the government as opposed to what government does, what the purposes of government would be. And so we're supposed to believe that as long as we have the ability to be part of this ritual of voting in years that are divisible by two, for the most part, for the national offices for the presidency in particular, but also for Senate, House of Representatives, and so forth, as long as this is participatory tyranny, as long as there are certain modalities that are in place, certain rituals that are observed, supposedly we have no choice and really no reason to complain, no choice but to submit to this, no reason to complain about the outcome. Yeah. And that's once again part of this whole religion that is based on the worship of collective human power, which really began with Babylon, but is now the universal creed, the universal political faith. And it's falling apart right now because it is unsustainable. It's based on force and fraud.
Yeah, if you remember those words of James Madison, you know, democracies are air spectacles of turmoil and contention. They're incompatible with personal liberty and the rights of private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. Ladies and gentlemen, look around. Look at the increasing a tempo of violence and crime and chaos. Look at the Occupy Wall Street. It's all about democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about democracy. That comes from the 10th of Federalist Papers. Go right ahead, William.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
There's some people who look at these young people and say, look, a lot of their complaints are justified. There really are problems. There really is certainly a group of people on Wall Street who are taking advantage of the situation, taking advantage of the system. There really is this 1% that really dominates things. And of course, the members of the Occupy Wall Street say we're the 99%, and then they point, of course, to the fact that the 1%, top 1% probably, makes 20, 25% of all the money, all the wages in the United States, and of course they're against the wars, and they want a more equitable distribution of goods within our country, and they want a just society, they want to do away with corruption, and Then there's the other group who said, look, this is a group of kids that are way out of hand, you know, they're just simply disrupting things. They're a revolutionary group. They're going to create all sorts of problems. And we're supposed to choose one side or the other.
Yeah.
And we can't choose one side or the other because both positions are correct, but this whole thing is devised as part of the revolutionary movement. It is coordinated, it is well-financed, and basically it is time to go along with all the other crises that are taking place.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and pick the story up.
One of the other aspects of this that is important to point out, and of course you limb brilliantly the differences between that element of the Occupy movement who are sincerely motivated by an abhorrence of corporate capitalism or corporate socialism, better put, where you have the government snuggling up to certain politically protected interests who are immunized from the rigors of the market because they're able to get the public to indemnify their losses. That's what happened, of course, with the TARP bailout almost four years ago, a little more than 3 years ago, actually. On the one hand, you got that element within the Occupy movement, and on the other hand, you've got a small but very disciplined cadre within the Occupy movement who are revolutionary socialists and who are actively working whenever there is an outbreak or the raw material for an outbreak of photogenic violence that provides a pretext for an outright conflict between police and protesters. You've got those elements of the Occupy movement who are exerting themselves to create that pretext. And at least a few of them are working with at least some of the municipal law enforcement agencies, which once again are connected with the whole infrastructure of the Department of Homeland Security. There was actually, in New York City once again, yesterday, a directive sent down under the Patriot Act to get Twitter to discontinue the Twitter feed of some of the protesters on the assumption that this was necessary in order to deprive them of the tactical flexibility to carry out their protests in spite of the police crackdown. That's exactly what happened in Egypt about 10 months ago. And when it happened in Egypt, when you had the Egyptian satellite police state, which had been armed, equipped, and trained and facilitated by Washington, when you had them interdicting Twitter feeds and working to shut down email communication and other social networking and online internet networking and communication, the State Department condemned what Egypt was doing. Well, now the NYPD is doing the same thing. And the point I was making before the break, Dr. Stan, is that this is the same NYPD that is up to its neck in a huge scandal involving not merely ticket fixing, but all kinds of criminal misbehavior that pervades that police department, having to do with the corruption that's endemic to the war on drugs, as well as assaults on persons and theft of property. And when the DA for the Bronx started to investigate some of this corruption, you had the police union come out in force to profess solidarity with the corrupt cops, some of whom have turned on the others. So we're not dealing merely with alleged corruption. We're dealing with acknowledged corruption on the part of a few. But they came out to profess solidarity with those who are on trial right now for horrible corruption and to heap abuse not only on the district attorney and the assistant prosecutors for doing this, but also to heap abuse on some of the counter-protesters that showed up to protest the fact that you've got these people who are making very good salaries and they're receiving very good pensions. But the culture of impunity is such that all this was just advertised as part of the professional courtesy to which they're entitled. The same NYPD now that's carrying out militarized operations against the Occupy protesters. So the dialectic is deep and their corruption is pervasive, and it all has the same source, which, of course, these entrenched interests that want to create these conflicts in order to stoke the flames beneath this crucible from which would be extruded eventually this new order of society that would have nothing to do with the protection of individual rights.
Well, we have real problems, unfortunately, and Sydney, when you are part of a corrupt organization, you know, when corruption pervades the police force, then no man's life or property or family is safe. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
Allegiance
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and fortunately, all police forces are not like New York. I don't know what's going on in Chicago. I know many years ago, Chicago was run pretty much the same way with all sorts of corruption, whether they've cleaned it up. I know they've tried repeatedly to clean it up. They'll bring in some really courageous people who try to do the right thing, and then pretty soon they either get compromised or killed or retire, and it goes right back to it. But basically, force tends to attract sometimes the worst elements. We need a responsible police force who fear God and who will do it the right thing and will be servants of the people rather than controlling them. You go right ahead.
Well, one of the things I pointed out, we've talked about this before, is the fact that in recent years in particular, there has been this effort to purge from nominally local, and I emphasize the adverb there, they're nominally local. That is to say, they're local outposts of what has become a militarized and unitary homeland security monolith. But there's been an effort to purge people like Ramon Perez from local, quote-unquote, police forces. He was purged from the Austin PD about 4 or 5 years ago because he had refused an illegal order to use his taser on an elderly suspect in a domestic violence call. The domestic violence consisted basically of a shoving match between a couple of septuagenarians. It was against the law, it was against the Constitution, against the Austin PD's use of force policy, the black letter policy of that department, to use a taser in that situation. So Ramon Perez, who was a conscientious and decorated rookie cop, had been right at the top of his academy class, was brought in and forced to undergo psychological evaluation because they decided that his religious views, this is a man who was a lay minister and a homeschooling father of four, who had been a successful businessman before becoming a police rookie in, I believe, the end of the fourth decade of his life. He was 39 or 40 years old when he became a rookie cop. But he was considered to be unsuitable because of his hard and fast, non-negotiable moral views. In other words, he's somebody who believed that there was something to which the state would be accountable. There was a higher power than the government, and that higher power had given him a mission, a vocation to protect individual liberty, so forth. He was considered unsuitable for our new model of law enforcement. He's hardly the only example of that sort, and this is something which has become very commonplace, very widespread, just in the last couple of decades in particular, and it's happened concomitant with the expansion of federal control over nominally local police agencies. And this replicates itself. It doesn't depend on the continued intervention of Washington for this type of situation.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, basically, William's pointing out that there has been a change in the attitude of the leaders of our police forces. This is not universal, but in many places, you are to go along and do what you're told, even though it is immoral. And there are always people who are going to stand up, a few of them, and say, look, of course, I'm answerable to God. I'm not answerable to my superiors. I will do, of course, what is right as far as the human beings we're dealing with, not what I'm told to do by my superiors. And of course, when you have a power structure, which is what the police force is in certain circumstances, the way this power can be misused. Now, we have some wonderful police forces. We have some wonderful sheriffs and wonderful police chiefs. But we have others who, of course, have a different attitude. If you have a good police force, support them. If you have a bad one, replace them. Go right ahead, William.
I think it's really important for people to understand a couple of things about the way that the police in our society have been structured. The first of which is that America had a different tradition than that of continental Europe, certainly, or even that of England. It wasn't until the early 1800s, I believe 1829, that London actually achieved, I don't know if achieved is the right verb, that London actually ended up with the Metropolitan Police Force. It was created by Robert Peel, who was Home Secretary of England at the time, and until just a few years before that, he had been basically the military governor of Ireland. In the late 18th century, in the 1790s, there was an attempt to create a paramilitary constabulary in Ireland and then to create its analog in England. And this was something that was rejected by Parliament. As a matter of fact, they were quite mortified by the suggestion because they considered it to be an affront to what was dominant or Whig theory of government, which focused on individual liberty. Yes, it embraced the idea of the rule of law, but it emphasized the idea that power really should reside with the people. That was, of course, a revolutionary idea, and it's one that we helped to inspire, that is to say, our forebears. We weren't around at the time, but our forebears in the restive colonies who had imbibed a lot of the writings of people like Addison, Steele, and pseudonymous Cato papers that were circulated in England in the early 1700s and had been reading a lot of the Whig literature that had come across the Atlantic. Those ideas took root and flourished in the colonies, and then they cross-pollinated with those ideas, very similar ideas, back in England after the successful War for Independence. And in the 18th century, there really was not an armed constabulary that was paid and controlled by government. There were night watchmen. There were constables. The constables were not paid by the government. There were shireves, that is to say, people who had been given territorial responsibility way back in the 12th century, rather, as a result of the Norman conquest. That was something that had replaced the old Anglo-Saxon system of policing, where you had kin groups and private groups that would coalesce for the purpose of keeping an eye on each other's property and then forming what we would now call posses to go after thieves and force them to surrender whatever they had stolen to pay restitution to the victims. When the Norman conquest occurred, William the Conqueror installed a new system that was based on what was called the Franken Pledge. It's a really interesting expression I just became aware of a couple of days ago. But the idea was that it wasn't enough to make restitution to the victim. The king had to get his cut. Every time there was some kind of a violation of what was called the king's peace, the constabulary would be sent out, and they would find the miscreant, haul him before a court, and he would be forced to make restitution to the victim, but the king had to get his cut. He had to get his share. And so the purpose of these rural tax gatherers, or shireves, sheriffs, was to gather that revenue from those types of courts and also from the various extractions, taxes, fees that were being imposed, gather them up and provide them to the monarch. And that, of course, created a whole court system, not only in terms of the administration of justice, but in terms of the hangers-on in the palace and so forth. And it got to the point where a couple of centuries later, the royal edicts that the English subjects were required to call laws made it a crime for people to seek personal restitution because you were cutting the king out of his portion of whatever agreement was reached. But in spite of all this, for all these centuries between the Norman conquest and the middle of the 1700s, there was still this really stout resistance on the part of the English to having a regularly constituted police force. As a matter of fact, there was a time, I believe around 1750, when a French visitor in London was really quite alarmed over the fact that there was no government-controlled constabulary. He asked several people in London where the police were. None of them was even familiar with the word, but the word police was something that had become part of the conversation by the 1790s. And there were a number of people in Parliament and people such as Edmund Burke, one of my personal heroes, who understood the concept but rejected the idea that government should have a monopoly on the administration of justice, because anytime government acquires that monopoly, it undermines the purpose of justice, which is to do to every man as an individual, to do equity and to ensure that his rights are protected by law. That's what justice really is. That's the Whig concept. Tory concept was rather different. Unfortunately, that's what began to prevail in the early 1800s when Mr. Peel created this military occupation force in Ireland, where he field-tested all these methods that were eventually incorporated into the law enforcement administrative system in England in 1829 with the enactment of the Metropolitan Police Bill. And between the 1790s and the creation of the Peelers, you know, the Bobbies, as they're also called, there was a really important development that, once again, Napoleon Bonaparte was responsible for. That was the creation of a whole system of continental police when he took over the domains of the Holy Roman Empire and invaded Italy and conquered some parts of Italy and installed his own satrap leaders in Italy and throughout what had been the Holy Roman Empire and up through the Iberian Peninsula. One of the things he did was he created a paramilitary system of police in order to support his own tax gatherers. And he put the unspeakable Joseph Fouché, who'd been the secret police chieftain in revolutionary France. He's a horrible, horrible man. He's somebody who actively persecuted the Roman Catholics in France and presided over the slaughter of thousands of them and emptied out the churches and insisted on running and installing blasphemous signs on religious shrines and cemeteries and things of that sort. He was in every sense the forerunner of Felix Dzerzhinsky, who went on to found the KGB, as it was called, the Cheka, actually, 1917-1918, no more than a century later. But he was put in charge of this continental system of police. And in 1814, when Bonaparte really had crossed his peak and was in decline, the Congress of Vienna met. That was the creation of the so-called Holy Alliance to reconstitute the continent on a different footing, you know, putting an end to the Napoleonic era and supposedly reinstituting the conservative and traditionalist institutions that the Jacobins had destroyed. The problem was they picked up seamlessly from where Napoleon left off in terms of creating all these militarized police agencies that were really an innovation. There had been nothing like it in European history up to that time. That was the same era when Robert Peel was creating his constabulary in Ireland that he ended up importing into England. And there was a lot of pushback because people were suspicious of the fact that you were dealing now with these uniformed officials. At the first, they were unarmed, and Robert Peel was very careful to say that they're just like any other citizen, and they require the support and help of the local citizenry to carry out their mission. That's something we discovered from our time in Ireland, was that unless you have the cooperation of the local populace, they really can't do anything about establishing peace. But a number of people, including one of my heroes from this period of history, a wonderful parliamentarian by the name of William Cobbett, who spent a lot of time as a pamphleteer and as a religious writer before becoming a parliamentarian, he pointed out in an 1833 speech that tyranny always comes by slow degrees, and nothing could tend to illustrate that fact better than the history of police in this country. And less than a generation before his speech in 1833, he pointed out the very term police was completely new to us, but owing to Peel's innovations, he said, London was now overrun with what he called blue locusts. A police with numbered collars and embroidered cuffs, a body of men as regular as the king's service, as fit for domestic war as the redcoats were for foreign war. In other words, what he's saying is that you're dealing with essentially the beginning, the germ of an army of occupation. And he was speaking the same language that the American patriots had been speaking in the 1760s and 1770s as they were dealing with the redcoats, as the duly established police force of the crown in colonial America. And what Cobbett was warning is that this isn't the end of it. Now that they've established a precedent, eventually we're going to have this system replicate itself all throughout England. Of course, it did, and by 1844, it started to replicate itself here on this side of the Atlantic as well. I mean, the first of the major municipal police departments created was this same NYPD, the same New York Police Department. And soon you had police departments on similar lines, inspired by Robert Peel, set up at towns such as Cincinnati and Philadelphia and Chicago and New Orleans, eventually Newark and a number of other places. And out in the West, in the frontier, you had a different system that was based on an American concept of the sheriff, which was a very different concept of the shireen that you read about in Middle Ages England. The sheriff was somebody who was, in the American context, not a representative of the king, which is what he was in the British context. The sheriff was somebody who was a representative of the local village or the local town. He was employed by the local residents. He was directly accountable to them. And this is the most important part. He did not claim a monopoly on the legitimate use of force. That's something that distinguishes the American system from every other political system in history, is that we have a constitution that explicitly recognizes what the Declaration of Independence said, which is that governments have derivative power. The only power they can exercise is that which is delegated to them by those in whom that power resides, and that is the people. And that power can be taken away from government when it's abused. Of course, it's almost always immediately abused. and shamefully so. And we have a Second Amendment in the Constitution which reiterates and makes vivid that principle by recognizing that the people have the right to keep and bear arms. That's not something that the government claims is a monopoly. As a matter of fact, the government does not have the right to keep and bear arms. That power resides in the people, and the government receives a delegated and revocable limited portion of that authority as a result, of course, of the decisions by the sovereign people. Well, in the American tradition, that power was invested in a sheriff, and the sheriff in the American historical context was somebody who could call on an element of the sovereign people in the same way that in Anglo-Saxon antiquity you had these posses formed to go out and pursue malefactors and bring them to book to stand trial for their alleged crimes. That's how the system worked in the Old West. So you had these two systems that were sort of that were competing with each other in 19th century America. The problem is that the Robert Peel system prevailed and not, if you will, the Wyatt Earp system or the Old West model of support your local sheriff. And today it's gotten to the point where you have these fully militarized police agencies that are living down to the worst elements of their pedigree. Case in point, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, dealing once again with this Occupy Wall Street movement, last Sunday, you had a police tactical team of about 25 officers. If you take a look at the photos, it's really quite appalling. They literally look like a tableau out of Baghdad, out of Seder City. I mentioned Seder City at the beginning of the broadcast. These people are conducting a full-force raid with their fingers caressing the trigger guards of assault weapons, wearing body armor and military attire, you know, green fatigues, bucket helmets, the whole nine yards, chasing eight protesters who had squatted in an abandoned auto display center, the used car lot that had been abandoned for 10 years. They were squatting on this property. It was private property. They had no right to be there. They were committing acts of vandalism. Yes, this is a property offense. The thing is, you have a contingent, a paramilitary contingent that was armed by the Pentagon, trained by special forces, sent to enforce a law dealing with a misdemeanor. I mean, this is the sort of a thing where they wanted to make a point about the nature of law enforcement today and how with the slightest provocation and the thinnest pretext, they can literally go full-scale Fallujah on anybody who is seen as a threat to public order. They blocked off, I think it was between four and six, either four or six city blocks using squad cars and fire trucks. They threw everybody to the ground at gunpoint, including journalists that were there to cover the story. And they ended up zip-cuffing and hauling off these eight people, and they were put on trial, or actually they were arraigned on a misdemeanor charge. They were probably not even put in jail. I mean, you're dealing with the statutory equivalent of jaywalking in terms of the seriousness of what's going on here. They're going to have to make restitution to the property owner whose property they defaced. But the real point here is to make a point about how you will be treated if you are identified as a threat to what the government calls public order. And that goes back to that insidious concept here of the king's peace. You see, the property owner, this I believe is, I can't remember the name of the guy, he's an absentee property owner. If he had been operating on the Old West model of law and order, what he would have done was he would have approached the local sheriff, and the sheriff would have put together a posse, or the sheriff would have brought in his deputies, and they would have conducted a low-key and appropriately sober and sedate enforcement action to evict those people from the property and to haul them up before a local magistrate and to require that they pay whatever is necessary in order to rectify the damage done to this property. That's how it should be handled. But if you do that, of course, you cut the king out of his share of glory. You miss the opportunity to overawe people with the majesty of the regime. And so we ended up with this display in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just last Sunday. And that's just one example of several we could cite that we're seeing here in the programmed dialectical reaction to the Occupy Wall Street movement. Now, the people who are promoting Occupy Wall Street are people who don't want to do away with that type of power. They want to control it. They want to enhance it. They want to make it their property. They want their faction to be the who rather than the whom. in the Leninist equation that defines politics.
Well, I think it's what's so important is that people understand that the cry of these young people is, we need more power in the government to control the greedy capitalists.
Yep.
That is why the greedy capitalists are financing this thing. Why? Because it circumvents our Constitution, centralizes power in Washington, D.C., which will be controlled by the greedy capitalists. I mean, who do you think it is that finances the politicians? Why, it's the greedy capitalists. And so basically, once again, we see the example the best politicians' money could buy, and exactly the opposite of what these young people would really like to see will take place. Instead of controlling the greedy capitalists will control the unfortunate people who've been crusading to bring more power to government. We'll be back in just a moment. Nothing as it appears to be. Go right ahead, William.
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your program this evening, and I do want to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132. 866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. We made it. It is Friday, November 18, 2011. Welcome to the Power Hour today. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world, and to all of you that are doing something about it, oh, I cheer you on. I salute you and thank you. There's so many people that are taking hold of this Sonomics issue and not letting go of it. They've done their own research, and they're saying, we got a problem here. We got a serious problem. Joining me in the studio today is Josh. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
And I really appreciate your inspiration, your motivation, your teaching, everything. When you come into the studio, I want you to know I may kid you a lot in the studio. So, and I may only allow you as much time as they allow Ron Paul to talk.
Well, you know, I'm in good company then.
Yeah, I think he's keeping track of it like Ron Paul. Okay, I only got 90 seconds in this day. Why do I even come in?
No,
I'm glad to have you here because I want you to share some things about you're using the cedar wood oil. You're going to tell people about that later because that's pretty amazing.
It has become a staple in our home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. And we, the studio reeks right now of cedar wood oil. The minute he walks in, he sets down his yerba mate tea and he grabs the cedar wood oil. And anyway, we're glad to have you here today because we're going to talk about some things that make people feel good. And we're going to laugh a little bit because we've got some stuff that is just so deals with reality so much that we can laugh at ourselves. So do stay tuned to the Power Hour today. We've got more updates. Now, we're going to try to stay away from all the negative stuff, but, you know, negative versus reality.
We have 3 hours to fill, so that's going to be
nothing negative in 3 hours, right? No, but I think that it's important that we talk about the Sonomics issue. And a lot of people may or may not still know about that. They may be tuning in to the first time to find out about it, but we've got an update. We've got an update from a letter from Tom, and I thank Tom from Tulsa for writing this letter. He wrote such, you know, it depends on how you write your letter as to how they respond.
Sure.
Because if they think you're really smart and might do them some damage, they give you a really nice letter.
Yeah.
If they think you're just one of those people that's going to send off an email that says, hey, I'm ticked at what you're doing, they don't really respond very much. I've noticed that in all the letters that we're getting. So we're going to talk about that. New advice coming from the CDC and the ADA, the American Dental Association, regarding fluoride. You think maybe the people in the fluoride-free Austin group are having an impact down there? I think so. And on the sort of negative side or the reality side of things, we need to talk about this MF global collapse because it represents more than just one organization having a few dollars missing from it. It's huge. It is absolutely huge. Also, the CDC is now admitting that not a single person has died from consuming raw milk in 11 years.
Wow.
But there could be in the future, so therefore we will affect your constitutional rights as to what you put into your body. The sheriffs to the rescue. You've been hearing all about these sheriffs and the Sheriff Mac Posse, I call them.
Oh, guys.
Oh, man, it's so exciting. It is so exciting. And we'll talk about the world news and give us an idea of what's happening around the world because Ron Paul's out there. And I want you to know Ron Paul is making a huge, huge difference. And they know that Ron Paul is the only one that they can't slap down.
Right.
He doesn't have any ghosts in his closet.
Doesn't seem like it.
It does. They'll find something probably.
They will.
Yeah, they will. And it'll probably have nothing to do with anything. But so get ready. But this whole idea, though, of realizing, the Republicans realizing, man, every one of our guys are like bad news.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here? You know, bad news to less bad news to more bad news is where they go with their candidates. So we're going to see what the latest is on Ron Paul and Occupy Wall Street. Oh, my.